Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we have been studying from the book of Mark. On our last program, we left off in chapter number 2. We've been talking about all the wonderful things that Jesus has been doing as he ministered the gospel to his countrymen in Palestine. He's not only preached the gospel, but he has demonstrated his power as the Son of God by healing the lame, by healing the paralyzed, by giving sight to the blind, by curing illnesses in an instant. And as we come into chapter number 3, Jesus is going to garner the attention of some of the great minds in the land. The rabbis, the scribes, and Pharisees are going to take note of Jesus. In chapter number 3, verse number 1, Mark tells us, he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Here's a situation where Jesus is under the close scrutiny of some of the great people in the land. He's in the synagogue. It's the Sabbath day. A man comes to him who has a withered hand. Of course, we're not really sure what that withered hand would have looked like. I can imagine a hand that's sort of shriveled up and perhaps the fingers are locked tight close together so that the man is not able to use his hand in any way whatsoever. So he comes to Jesus knowing about Jesus' power and wants to be healed. Now, there's some scribes and Pharisees that are sitting by, and they're watching Jesus very closely. They want to see if he's going to perform this healing on the Sabbath. Remember that under the law of Moses, you were not to do any work on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were so strict about this that they followed closely the interpretations of the law that was given to them by the scribes. The scribes determined, for example, how far that one could walk on the Sabbath day. They called it a Sabbath day journey. If one walked farther than that, it would be considered work. So the Pharisees closely observed the interpretations of the law given to them by the scribes, and in their opinion, Jesus healing on the Sabbath would be a work. Jesus would be doing work on the Sabbath. Jesus reveals the counsels of their heart with a question. He says, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" What we learn about the old law from Jesus is that within the old law, there are greater and lesser commands. And there are greater and lesser matters within the law. Even though the law was very strict in saying you could not do any work on the Sabbath day, there were greater matters within the law. For example, if you had the opportunity to save someone's life on the Sabbath day, here's this person, their life is being threatened, and you decided, well, it's the Sabbath day, so I can't do any work to help them. Jesus says That's not how the law works. It's okay to save a life. It's okay to help your neighbor. That's not what God meant by giving the Sabbath to man. As Jesus says in other passages, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God intended it to be good. He intended man to take time each Saturday while they lived under the law and use that time of rest to reflect upon all the good things that God had done for the Jewish people. But as Jesus points out, if you have the opportunity to do good on the Sabbath, even if it means that you'll do a little bit of work, that's okay, because it's a better thing to save a life than it is to keep yourself from work. Their response was silence. They refused to answer Jesus' question. And this is the one time in Scripture when we are told that Jesus was angry. Now, some of you might be thinking about when he cleansed the temple out of the money changers. Well, it certainly seems that Jesus might have been angry in those two instances, because that happened twice. It happened early in his ministry and late in his ministry. However, Scripture never tells us whether or not Jesus was angry. It simply says that he was very zealous for the Lord. Here, Mark says Jesus was angry, and he was angry because of the hardness of their hearts. Here was a neighbor who needed help, and they were leaning upon their own interpretations of the law. So Jesus goes on to heal the man in spite of their anger. And one of the things that I really appreciate about Jesus' example in this passage is, even though these men were very much out of line, even though they were in the wrong, Jesus does not upbraid them. He does not rebuke them. He does not speak to them out of anger. Instead, he simply does good. And that's a lesson for all of us, friends. Many times in life, our reactions to others define who we are. Jesus' reaction in this passage was to simply do good, not to speak or to act in anger, but to do good. This, of course, infuriated the Pharisees and the scribes, and they plotted from that point forward how they might destroy him. They see Jesus as a threat. They see him as a threat to their power. They see him as a threat to bringing disciples after him and leading the people away from the influence that the Pharisees and the Herodians in this case had acquired. And so they want to do away with Jesus. Jesus knows what's going on, and Mark tells us that he withdrew himself and his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan. And those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So Mark tells us you've got people coming from all over the region, not just from the land of Judea, not just from the land of Galilee, but you've got folks coming from the adjacent regions, from Tyre and Sidon, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan. His fame is spreading far and wide. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitudes, lest they should crush him. So Jesus is feeling a great deal of intense pressure, and he tells the disciples, keep a boat ready. I don't know if I can hold these folks back. In verse number 10, Mark says he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. So you can just imagine, here's all these desperate people, people who are looking for hope, people who are looking for a way out of their miserable circumstances. They're putting a great deal of pressure upon Jesus. They just want to touch them. The unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." You see, even the spirits, the unclean spirits, the demons who were possessing people, they could not help but recognize the true identity of Jesus. Mark says, though, he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. Now, you've picked up on this, I think, a couple of different times. If you've been with us each week, I've talked extensively about how Jesus did not want the testimony of demons to prove to others who he was. Now, it's during this time that Jesus decides to appoint 12 men. Mark says that he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, the sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Matthew, Bartholomew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house. So Jesus sets these 12 men apart, and he empowers them, Mark tells us, to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Now, it's not stated in the text, but it certainly appears, given the preceding circumstances, that Jesus needed help, that the need was so great that having these 12 men who were empowered to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons would have been a real aid to Jesus in this time. It would have relieved the pressure on him that rather than coming to Jesus, they could come to one of these 12 delegates. He also charged these men with proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Remember, that message was just as important as the ministry Jesus was performing. So these men had both the power to heal sicknesses, to cast out demons, and also they were commanded by Jesus to preach that good news of the coming kingdom. These are the men, my friends, that we later call the apostles. The word apostle just means one who is sent out, and these were Jesus' primary witnesses of his resurrection, and they accompanied him, in all but the case of one, to the cross.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that Jesus expects us to obey him. Jesus said many people think they are going to heaven, but only a few will find the narrow way to eternal life. Jesus wondered why people called him Lord but refused to obey him. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus expects us to listen to his teachings and follow what he says. If you want to learn more about the commands of Jesus and the need for obedience, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.